Welcome to the Reformation Podcast, a place for conversations about spiritual formation at Grace Mosaic. This week, we're back announcing the launch of an initiative at our church called the Daily Formation Project. The DFP seeks to guide the spiritual formation of our congregants so that together we are growing in love and maturity in our life with God and being equipped to participate in God's kingdom mission.
Welcome to the Reformation Podcast.
Hello.
Hi.
Who's all in the room?
It is I, Darth Vader. I don't know how he talks. It's Haley.
And Ashley.
Yeah. It's good to be with y'all. It's been a long time since we recorded a podcast here for the Grace Mosaic community. So this is definitely an in-house conversation on spiritual formation, just like previous podcast projects, not meant to go out there and be a chart-topping podcast. This is really supposed to be intimate and casual to facilitate conversations about how to follow Jesus more deeply within our lives here in Northeast Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm. Boom.
Not just some broad endeavor on the podcast. So who knows what we're going to do with the podcast. We might bring folks in and have different conversations. But today, we just want to launch right into it and give some introductory remarks for launching another project at the church called the Daily Formation Project. As you might know, if you've been around Mosaic for a while, we have a project called the Daily Prayer Project. So this is sort of, we don't know, a cousin.
An off-branch. Something.
Yeah, it's not meant to be like too branded, but the DPP has mostly focused on the daily office, which means the daily life of morning and evening prayer for us as Christians, but also in incorporating art and music and practices, right? And so the DFP is sort of an outworking of the practices section of the DPP and trying to talk about real life and what does it mean to actually integrate what we say we believe into the patterns and practices of our lived life. I mean, that's kind of the lifelong endeavor of spiritual formation and to do so with a spirit of true love of God and neighbor. So what we have been working on since Haley came on staff here last year is just reading broadly of the tradition of spiritual formation and trying to figure out what would it mean to facilitate a formative project for a congregation to explore Christian practice more deeply in our modern world. So that's where the DFP comes from. It is, we are saying, it's starting slow and it'll grow as it goes. So we're starting relatively simple right now. But what I want to talk about is some of the underpinnings after we did some learning and reading and listening to a lot of different people. What are sort of the underpinnings that need to be talked about first before we just launch right into, hey, do this. Hey, practice Sabbath. Hey, pray two times a day. Hey, go fast. No, the heart of the matter is more important than just the mere practices themselves. So we're going to spend the first section here today just talking about these 10 principles that we've developed. This is our first revision of them on the formative life. So let's do that. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. I'll be curious to see how people hang on to them. Like what sticks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our first one, love.
First one is love.
That's right.
Yeah. Why are we doing any of this?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Right. So What we say is the mark of Christian maturity is an ever deepening love of the triune God, our neighbors, and creation. Mm-hmm. Meaning, you know, there is faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. And in the scriptures, I think one of the most helpful things to illustrate this point is if you were to talk about in Jesus's day, who were the best practiced people? Who were the people who were most faithful outwardly to what they said they believed, who were praying a lot, who were fasting a lot, who were giving a lot, who were doing all the right things? Who were those people in Jesus's day? It was the Pharisees, right? Mm-hmm. But who was Jesus most critical of? Mm-hmm. The Pharisees. So you can practice the practices of the faith, but do so in a completely wrong way.
Yeah.
And the practices of the faith, everything that we do is a means to an end.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It is not the end in itself. The end is not to be, you know, a perfectly behaving person. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The end is to be a perfectly loving person.
That's right. Boom. That's good. That's
so that's why it's first. Either of you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, I just think immediately of that passage that is shared at almost every wedding I've ever been to, mm-hmm. right? 1 Corinthians 13, and you're talking about all of these amazing things that Christians in all times and places have done, and Paul lists all those things and say, and yet if it's without love, it's nothing. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And that's actually really intense to it think is. About, mm-hmm. right? And it can be an indictment on how, especially in the church in the West, is really given orders of things, right? Like you were talking about, practice Sabbath, read, pray, mm-hmm. but without someone actually showing you how to do those things, that alone isn't loving, right? To just, mm-hmm. and scripture, Jesus talks very specifically about that as well, right? You heap all these things on people and you lift no finger to help them do those things.
Right.
And so that's part of love, right? It's not just saying, but also showing and doing, helping.
That's right.
And so of course the basis of what we see as formation would have to start with love, because that's how we see God's love for us, that he didn't just tell us he wants to redeem us. He also did something about it and then modeled us what it means to be people like him, right? Mm-hmm. And it has real actionable, it's real and actionable.
Yeah. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
What's number two, Haley?
Number two is God's work. Spiritual formation is the work of the Holy Spirit by whom we are being transformed from one degree of glory to another. Mm.
There we go.
Yeah. It's good.
That's, you know, our insistence on the grace of God, the power of God at work within us who are weak and broken and malformed in many ways. And we need reformation of all of what we desire, all of what we love, all of what we do in so many areas of our life. But yet we don't approach the conversation first from a place of sheer willpower.
That's right. Mm.
So much of the life of deepening in love with God is yielding ourselves to God and saying, God, help.
Yeah. Yes.
Please, yeah. God. Yes. And so, so often in the New Testament, especially, there's this language of, it's a passive language. Mm-hmm. It's you are being transformed from one degree of glory. Mm-hmm. I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Mm-hmm. So you must, you know, give sola Deo Gloria. You must give the glory to God first. Mm-hmm. So that's why we're laying that down as our second principle.
Yes. Yeah. I worked for RUF, as did Ashley. And I love that one of our presuppositions is God is at work in ministry. Just so important to remind ourselves who is in control of things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the third principle is meant to follow right after it. Being sort of a not paradoxical, but participatory point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our work, spiritual formation, requires our active participation. You just used the words yield. We are participating in something that God is doing. That doesn't mean we are inactive or, it's kind of a tricky thing to talk about. Mm-hmm. What does it mean to be invited into what God is doing in the world? Yes. Does that mean I just sit on my tush and wait for something to happen? Like, he's given us guidelines and commandments to follow. Like, what does it look like to work with him in his kingdom mission?
Yeah. The theologian Francis Schaeffer of the 20th century had this term that he coined called active passivity.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at the story of Mary and how Mary yields herself as God's servant. And mm-hmm. she says, here I am.
That's right.
Be unto me as you have said. Mm-hmm. As like a central paradigm of mm-hmm. like, all right, God, I'm here. I'm going to show up for
yes.
this.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
You have to do the work in me. Mm-hmm. But I will show up
mm-hmm.
and follow you. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So that's why Jesus all the time is saying, do you want to be healed?
Mm-hmm.
You know, follow me. Those are directives. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have to take initiative mm-hmm. In our spiritual lives. Mm-hmm. It's part of growth. And every area of our life teaches us this. Mm-hmm. We have to place ourselves in the posture of learning. Mm-hmm. We have to sign up for the gym. We have to
that's
sign
right.
up for the class,
yeah.
The culinary school, whatever yeah. it is. Mm-hmm. Do you want to grow?
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to be there. You have to show
well, up. And it also recognizes a truth that we all know, whether we consciously acknowledge it or not, that none of life is neutral.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not actively pursuing life and godliness, you're not just staying still in your passivity.
That's right.
Right. You are being moved.
We'll get there.
Somewhere.
That's right.
And we'll find our way there.
Yeah. But, I want to say one more thing. Please. I love Ephesians 5. I think our youth group is reading through Ephesians right now, but mm-hmm. it says, be imitators of God
yeah.
As beloved children. And to imitate God, we have to presume he has done something. And so our part is to respond following him.
Right. And if you remember, if anyone was there at our last two fall retreats ago, where the pastor, Abe Cho, talked about apprenticeship, right? Following closely after your rabbi, being covered in the dust of your rabbi, if any of you remember that. Mm. So there's this learn from me, Jesus says, watch me, do what I do.
Yeah.
And that's a very important element of spiritual formation that I think is often obscured because we're waiting for the right insight, you know, we're waiting for the right desire to well up within us. And Jesus so often just says, no, just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Just do it. Mm-hmm. All right. So that's our first three. We have love. You know, the end is love. And this is God's work and this is our work. Mm-hmm. And then fourth.
I love that we say our work. It's not my work.
That's right.
Because the fourth principle is communal. There is no formation into the image of Christ without the body of Christ, which mm-hmm. is the church. You'll often hear Joel or Ashley or I talking about this lady, Joan Kittister.
Sister yes. Joan.
Sister Joan. We're kind of obsessed. But she has this beautiful quote, the church is the one place where we are sure God dwells.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really powerful.
Yeah. So I think just understanding the body language of the New Testament is this organic being. And you, if you're an ear, praise God that you're an ear, but you can't exist on your own. Ears can't exist on mm-hmm. their own. We are all formed into the body of Christ as a body. And you will need assistance.
That's
you will
right.
need help. Mm. You will need guidance if you are going to progress in the way of love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the way it was meant to be.
That's right. Mm. And again, it patterns natural life, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine if a baby is born and never sees an adult walking, that baby is not going to learn how to walk.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It can't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It has to see, he or she has to see his mom or dad, her mom or dad walk. Mm-hmm. That's how he or she learns how to walk.
Right.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And that's what this is showing, right? We need community. We need others. Paul saying, imitate me mm-hmm. as I imitate Christ. Mm-hmm. Some, in fact, I feel like a lot of times in my life, and I don't know if this is the right way to read Paul, but the way I've historically read that is sometimes Jesus is so far from what I think I can be that I almost hear Paul saying, I know that's a big goal. So at least imitate me, right? And that's kind of what you're getting at in community, right? Okay, Jesus might be a long shot, but I'll at least try to be like Miss Kim.
No.
And that's one right. next step to that, right? And that's what community is mm-hmm. okay, I've watched this person live like, or another, I mean, not to like start name dropping people, but like Cheryl, right? Like mm-hmm. these people who I've actually watched grow into life and godliness. And it demonstrates to me, how do I live through with integrity, loss
right.
and grief? Well, I don't just learn that by reading about it. I learn by watching someone do it
that's
before
right.
me.
How do we learn how to pray?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you go to different churches and you pray in different groups of Christians, you'll realize, oh, they pray slightly differently.
Yeah.
And the reason why they do is because they've learned language together. They've mm-hmm. emphasized vocabulary together. They've mm-hmm. learned how to engage God mm-hmm. as a community.
Yes.
Right? They've learned how to practice the faith as a community. Mm-hmm. And that's how it's meant to be.
Yes.
Fifth, it's a process.
Yeah.
Spiritual formation is a non-linear maturation.
Emphasis on non-linear.
Over time, that happens amid the pains, sufferings, joys, and triumphs of our everyday lives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is one of my favorite points mm-hmm. because we are so tempted to want perfection. Mm-hmm. We're so tempted to want quick results in our world today. But as you've heard me say a lot, spiritual formation is a Dutch oven and not a deep, a deep fryer. And by that we mean, you know, Dutch ovens, you're usually cooking something for 3 or 4 hours. Mm-hmm. You're basting something for a long time, whereas a deep fryer, you're just dropping it right in and it's done. Mm-hmm. And it can be frustrating, the spiritual life, because you find yourself back in the same rut you were 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And you wonder, have I grown?
Yeah.
And that's a great question to ask. It's totally. A great question to discern. So often we are growing, but we are also ourselves, and mm-hmm. we have been worked into patterns, destructive patterns in our lives, or broken patterns in our lives, and those keep showing up. Mm-hmm. And then we go through seasons of dryness,
yeah,
and then abundant seasons mm-hmm. of fruitfulness. Mm-hmm. So the way that God works in people's lives over time, like the church has been talking about this for a really, really, really long time.
Yeah, I mean, this rings Ignatius, you know, Consolation and Desolations, and that's what, 1500s? Like, mm-hmm. this is not new.
Yeah. And every age of the church has to have guides and people to help us think through, okay, where am I
mm-hmm.
in relationship to God? Where am I in my spiritual journey? I want to be pressing towards the love of God. I want to be pressing towards communion with God. I want to be pressing towards the life of the kingdom. How do I get there?
Yep.
It's a process. Yeah.
Ashley, I think, teed us up pretty well before. Our next principle is inevitable. You were talking about how our formation is not neutral.
Yeah.
Here we have that everyone is being formed at all times, and we will not be formed into the way of Jesus accidentally.
Mm. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just like Ashley said, you know, when you're born into a family, you're watching your mom walk and you're learning by imitation. And so that's just a human principle that carries over to life anywhere.
Yeah.
We're learning from a variety of people. Mm-hmm. We're learning, a lot of people learn violence.
Yeah.
From growing up in violent families. That's right. Mm-hmm. A lot of people learn I'm giving negative examples
sure.
right now.
Sure.
A lot of people learn negative examples, mm-hmm. Negative patterns of behavior and how to ridicule people mm-hmm. because maybe their father ridiculed people. That's maybe right. their father ridiculed them.
Yeah.
We're learning what to desire, what to buy, mm-hmm. what to expect,
right.
how much comfort to get used to mm-hmm. in our life. Mm-hmm. So spiritual formation is happening to us all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You are always being formed every single day. The question is, who is forming you?
That's right. right.
Mm-hmm. The question is, who is occupying the mental brain audio space,
your heart, life. Your affections, all
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's really important to acknowledge that, because spiritual formation is not something you opt into.
That's right.
This little project, the work of the church, it is everyone is signed up for this class. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Our role as church leaders is to help companion you towards what we trust and pray are healthy rhythms yes, of spiritual right. formation. Mm-hmm. Okay, principle seven, it's liturgical.
The liturgy of the church grounds us in how the world is supposed to be and how we are called to engage with it. I love our worship on Sunday mornings. I think it's like one of the best things we do. Mm-hmm. And just the thoughtfulness that has gone into preparing for it, that you've done over the years, Joel, you and Russ and everybody, the way that mm-hmm. We ground ourselves at the start of the week And who God is, what he's done for us through the word, the sacraments, prayer. I think it was just important to include in our 10 principles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I often say the heartbeat of the church is the worship service.
Yeah.
You know,
church. Or sometimes you'll say it's a splash. And I really like that image. It's yeah. the kind of first splash that then ripples.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. That's right. And what is the church without worship? Mm-hmm. I mean, the worship is what the church does. If you were to take all the rest of the activities of the church, all the Bible studies, the small groups, the youth groups, all that kind of stuff over the course of a life, if you're a worshiping Christian your whole life, the majority of your time is still going to be spent in that yes. worship mm-hmm. service. Mm-hmm. And I love, I'm blanking on the theologian's name, but basically life in the doing life in the liturgy is doing the world it was meant in the way it was meant yeah. to be done.
Yeah.
So you have these patterns of thanksgiving and adoration, just mm-hmm. saying to God, thank you, yes. praising God for creation, mm-hmm. praising God for life, but also acknowledging the brokenness, mm-hmm. right? So that's our second movement right. of worship, acknowledging the brokenness, but also experiencing radical forgiveness, mm-hmm. actually experiencing a reconciled community yes. of people who are freed to live and to give of their things, offering, mm-hmm. right? Needing wisdom and instruction in the sermon, feasting together at the That's table. Right. I'm not going to go into all of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you look at the worship service in that way, every single week is a picture mm-hmm. of what
life as it should be.
Life right. as it That's should right. be. Now, it's not perfect, mm-hmm. you know?
That's right.
Because we're not perfect.
Sound does weird stuff and we sing the wrong verse of something on the right. projection screens. And I actually think that is a really perfect picture of mm-hmm. what this practice really looks like. If we see Sunday as rehearsing, mm-hmm. You know, all these elements of practices, then I think it's kind of fun to think about, yeah. And then you have some hiccups throughout a service and you're going to have a lot of hiccups in mm-hmm. life too. But yet we come every Sunday,
yes.
right? Mm-hmm. Or you should come every Sunday.
We endeavor.
And same for our daily life. Yeah. Sometimes you might hiccup on your confession, on mm-hmm. might hiccup in your prayer, but do it again.
That's right.
And do it again.
Yeah.
And do it again. And that is the Christian life.
Yeah. And the eighth principle of practice.
Wow. It's like I'm just, you know, teeing all these up.
Yeah. Yeah. I like how it's not performance based, right? It's not That's like right. we're putting on a show for everybody. Mm-hmm. It's not this empty activity.
Yes.
But we are practicing these things that we say we believe that we want to imitate. How we want to imitate Jesus and mm-hmm. in offering forgiveness, yeah. in passing the peace to people, in meditating on the word. So the way of spiritual formation is guided by these historic, embodied Christian practices. We're not just brains on a stick who absorb mm-hmm. information and then are assured of our salvation, but we are working it out in the ways that we live every day of the week.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to quote him exactly right, but the pastor, John Ortberg, basically says a spiritual discipline is any activity that we engage to make a task ultimately easier to do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. So again, this goes back to the first principle. The practices are meant to form us to win, to live a life to where it is second nature yes. to confess our sins. Mm-hmm. We don't have to try yeah. because we've practiced.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And there are so many instances in our life where confession is the needed practice, yeah. where humility is what is needed to be loving in a situation. Mm-hmm. And we all know how hard it is to sometimes just be like, oh yes, I was wrong. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. And so we practice, right? Or fasting is a practice to make it easier, ultimately,
yeah.
to deny ourselves
That's right.
for the sake of God and mm-hmm. for others. Mm-hmm. So that if we're have the chance to be the first one in line and grab all the available food, mm. or we can sit back.
Yeah.
And the reason we're able to sit back is because we've practiced how to have an empty stomach. We've practiced yeah. how to not gratify ourselves.
Yes.
And that is what is needed.
That's right.
For love. And we practice generosity over mm-hmm. time. So that it becomes easier to give our stuff away, our mm-hmm. time away,
yep.
because that's what love demands. Yeah. So the Christian spiritual formation tradition is based in practices. Mm-hmm. It is based in some prescription of practices, mm-hmm. like some traditions, like in monastic traditions, pray 7 times a day.
Yeah.
We try to practice 2-time-a-day prayer, at least at a bare minimum, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So that it becomes more natural to talk to God.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
And commune
yeah.
with the Lord.
And it's acknowledging that I don't wake up a patient person. And when some specific instant comes that tries my patience, if I have not tried on patience, then I will not be patient. Mm-hmm. And I think that happens so often that you have an encounter that you know, oh, you're like, oh, I'm better than this, or, you know, whatever that thought process might be for you. And you come away like, man, I need to do better next time.
Right.
But if you don't practice that thing, the next time it happens, you're going to do the same thing.
That's right.
Again, it's just, I mean, this is why we talk so much too about wholeness, and that the Christianity is a whole religion, and you can pull so much of just natural life, right? If I tomorrow decide to run a marathon, it is not going to go well because I have not done the things I need to do.
That's right.
So if I just show up to be a marathon runner, is not going to work out well for me. Mm-hmm. No, I have to be every day choosing the things that runners choose, going to bed early, eating the right things, doing some long runs so that when the time comes to be a marathon runner, I have the stuff it takes to be a marathon runner.
That's right. Mm-hmm. What is it when Paul says, you know, bodily training, athletic training is of some value.
That's right.
But spiritual training, where the word, we get the word asceticism is a Greek word related to ascesis, which is athletic training. So like there's a rich part of our tradition that has been obscured, but maybe in different traditions by harsh legalism and all of that. And that's not what we're talking about. But there is a wisdom to like practice, practice your faith. Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to finish up these last two here. Number nine is kingdom mission. We are formed to live on mission with the Lord, that his kingdom may come and his will may be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is a resistance to thinking about spiritual formation as just a portal to personal happiness and self-fulfillment. Mm-hmm. That was never the intention of living life with God. Mm-hmm. If you look back at the Old Testament, Israel is meant to engage in these formative practices and to pattern themselves off the law and the word of God. Why? So that other nations might be blessed through them.
Yes.
So that other nations might look at their lives and say, oh, there is something distinct. There is something different. I want to know that God.
Yes.
I want to know the Yahweh God that they talk about because their lives are beautiful. That was the intention of God's people. And so it's the intention of us. Do you remember that Mulholland quote of what spiritual formation is?
Joel. It's like...
not him putting you on the spot.
Yeah. A process of being formed into the image of Christ for the sake of others.
There I think you
something
go.
Like that. That's
it. Yeah, there
something it is. Like that.
A process of being formed into the image of Christ for the sake of the others.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We are meant to live for the life of the world. We're meant to live for the sake of the world. Mm-hmm. And again, all of these practices have a deep relationship to justice. They have a deep relationship to mercy. If you want to be a person who practices justice and mercy in your life, if you want to be a person who doesn't ignore the person on the street who's needing help, but runs into a situation that could cause you suffering.
Yep.
That's because you've practiced it.
Yes.
So this is, again, all lived for the sake of the kingdom. That's the ultimate end. And number 10.
Cross-cultural. We are formed to be formed together into the cross-cultural family of God. We are growing up together in this faith. This is also one of the values of our church. So important to include in our 10 principles of spiritual formation. There's no one image of what it looks like.
Yeah.
The image of God. We are that together.
That's right. It's the Herman Bavinck quote, right? The image of God is only perfectly realized, or is only realized in a humanity counting billions of members.
Yes.
And what that means is that as I participate in a more and more diverse community, I'm not doing that just for diversity's sake. I'm not doing that just to feel really good about myself or my church. I'm doing that to actually, in the end, experience more of who God is, because I'm experiencing more of God's image across lines of culture, across people's life stories who have learned to love God in their unique life.
Yeah.
And as I learn from their unique life, it shapes me.
Right.
And we together more and more become the image of the body of Christ
that
the world needs today. So those are the 10 principles of spiritual formation. It looks like that's what we're going to spend our time on today, looking at the clock. But I think it's really important that we have that conversation to lay that groundwork down before we even start talking about any specific practice.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's all. We're going to try to keep these episodes as brief as possible. So thanks for having this conversation today.
Yeah.
Reformation Fall 2024 Part 1.
Ooh.
And we will see you. We will see you all back here very soon as we introduce the first practice of the DFP series, which is the practice of Shabbat, Sabbath. All right. See you next time.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.